frustrating was it to get Ole Miss in so many third down situations and then have trouble stopping them?
That's very frustrating. Just something we got to continue to get better at. We played hard, physical, smart. Just got to contain the quarterback. That's a good player, by the way.
That is Tennessee defensive back Trayvon Flowers talking about Tennessee's inability to get off the field on third downs. I'll add fourth downs to that. Ole Miss was 11 of 21 on third down conversions. Many of them were third and seven or more, and they were 2 of 3 on fourth down conversions. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm. You can hear us on 107.7 WIVK, 99.1 The Sports Animal. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with VFL Tim Irwin. We got a full bank of calls, so let's get right to it. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Yeah, if you got a 10-second runoff on offense, if they go down whenever the team has no timeouts, why can't you do the same just on the flip side if the defense follows, add time to it? I know the games are long enough already, but, I mean, well, make it punishable. I mean, take a timeout away or something.
Well, one of the problems, if the defense does it, that could be to their advantage, because if the offense is trying to catch up and you've got, like, 50 seconds left and they start falling down, you're going to take a 10-second runoff to help the defense?
No, you're going to add 10 seconds.
Don't add anything. Oh, Lord.
This
game's long enough.
Exactly. That's what I said. The game's long enough, but, I mean, you got to have some type of punishment for that.
I would, rather than deal with the clock, I'd rather make that player sit for 5 plays, and maybe that would stop it. What you said may help stop it, too. Tim, would you rather add time to the game if the defense does it, or would you rather have that player sit for multiple plays?
I don't think anybody in their right mind wants time added to the games. They're taking so long anyway, despite the network's obvious attempts to shorten the ball games. They're taking longer than they've ever had. Coaches are trying to imaginatively cram as much into that 60 minutes as they can. I think the right answer is to penalize the player that goes down and, you know, make them stay out for the game 3 to 5 plays, probably a good safety idea anyway. Let them get over there and have time to get checked out, find out what's wrong with them, if anything's wrong with them. But don't make the officials determine whether or not somebody's really injured.
Yeah.
Just have them, if you leave the game, you stay out 3 plays, you stay out 5 plays before you can come back in.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a pretty good rule.
Okay. Hey, Bill, we appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
Okay. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Ryan.
I want to talk about the flopping thing, and I'm not defending either side or what they're going to do and everything. I just want to, I mean, to look at the history of this, you can go back years all the way to UCF, and Heupel has complained of coaches doing this to his team to slow him down for years. And you're talking on the other side, you've got a coach that lives by the mantra is rules be damned, do whatever you can get away with. And how much is Heupel supposed to take from him during that game, slowing his offense down before he's supposed to fire back? I mean, that's what I saw. I saw time after time in the first quarter. He's done this against every team he's played. When he needs extra time, he's not going to waste out. He's going to have one of his players lay down. And Heupel started firing back. So and there comes a point where you just take the high ground and let the other team have the advantage when nobody's going to do anything to stop. And
yeah.
I guess that's kind of my defense of Heupel and when he started doing it. It's like, okay, if he's going to be doing it, I'm going to do it too.
Yeah. I would this is based on memory. I do think Ole Miss started it first. Tennessee, and that wasn't the only time Tennessee went down. I might do this. I might go back and watch that game and see how many times Ole Miss did it and how many times Tennessee did it. Both of them did it too often, but Ole Miss did it more often than Tennessee did. So maybe
Absolutely.
You're right. Maybe
yeah.
maybe he was firing back at him. I don't know. Interesting point. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Let's go to Randall. Randall, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Morning. Jimmy, I got a question for you. How long is that stick you've got in your hand?
What's that?
How long is the stick you have in your hand?
You talking about when I go do interviews?
No, because you have poked a hornet's nest this morning. you have got, oh, it's hard to even call in. I just want to know how long the stick was poking that hornet's nest. Now, my comment is that I'm trying to talk my son off the ledge because he's been a Tennessee fan ever since he was, you know, born. His name is actually Peyton. And I'm trying to talk him down from the reaction that he took from the fan base. And it was deplorable. There is no, and I'm with Tim, there is no reason, rhyme, or anything. Take away the alcohol, do whatever you need to. There's no reason to be throwing garbage on a football field.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's okay. That's just inexcusable. Shouldn't happen. And I think that if they can identify the guilty parties, they should take measures against it. So hopefully they will. And I don't know if they do, but hopefully they will. All right, let's go back to the phones where Jimmy's our next caller. Jimmy, you're on Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. We're doing okay.
Wonderful. Listen, I know you've had a lot of heat, a lot of people's upset with the loss, but this is exactly what happened last night to me and my daughter. I have pumped her up about how great it is to be a Vol for life and enjoy this great atmosphere, knowing that we have our first sellout since 2017. And it wasn't just the beer, guys. They're going to have to do a better job at policing what comes into the stadium. Felt like being in a LSU game. They were liquor bottles being chucked. We were belted. We were sitting down close to the field. And I saw our own fans hitting our own Vols fans, hitting our own cheerleaders. I had to shield my 7-year-old daughter and pick her up and usher her out of that stadium because of the debris. And it wasn't just cans. They were several things. I mean, I know the big thing is mustard and golf balls, but they were several liquor bottles, Chuck, that could have not only hurt my daughter, but I saw several injuries. Wow. Thankfully, I don't think any of them are severe, but here's a father that grew up loving the Vols, that wanted to express to, you know, a daddy-daughter relationship. This is something that you'll remember the rest of your life, sweetheart. This is and for that, she told me on the way home she never wants to go back again. It was hostile, and I loved the atmosphere up until the end of the game. But guys, we've got to take care of our own fans. We've got to take care of this is a family atmosphere. I don't know whether you stop, but I will tell you this: they're supposed to. My understanding is to get two large beers. Two's your limit. I'm telling you from my view. I've seen people at least 10, 15 beers maybe. There was no policing of what your take would be. If you had the money, you could buy the beer. And we're going to have to establish when's the cutoff. How do we police that? Do you get bracelets? We punch your hole twice, and that's your limit, or what? But liquor bottles rain down. And like I said, man, I'm telling you, I had to get her out of there, and that's not the excitement or enjoyment you want to share with you know, it's supposed to be a family atmosphere to enjoy this Vol for life, and I was just ecstatic to have a sellout, you know, to see that atmosphere back. And guys, we've got to take up for one another, but we've got to fix ourselves from that happening again, because that could have been tragic.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did not see the liquor bottles. I'm not doubting you at all. I just didn't see them personally. It's a shame that you had to go through that. I've taken my kids to a lot of sporting events, and it would be very harmful to me and to them if that would have occurred. Tim, you've taken your kids to a lot of sporting events for years, I would imagine that would be tough to take if you witnessed that and you were with your daughter or your son at an event, Tim.
If somebody sitting beside me threw an object on the field and hit a player or another fan, I'm not sure I could control myself, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
You can, you can read into that what you think. If somebody hit my child and I knew who did it, I believe I'd take action. And, there's just no place for that. No place for that in our house or any house. The people out there on the field, you know, the people in the arena deserve better than that. They deserve better than that. And it means more to them than anybody in the stands. I promise you it means more to the players out there and their families. And to have a bunch of drunken students mar that performance with their action is embarrassing. Yeah. Let's try not to talk about it too much anymore.
Yeah.
Give them any more credibility than they've already got.
Well, Jimmy, we appreciate the phone call, okay?
Thank you.
And sorry you went through that. That shouldn't have been experienced by anybody.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Denny. Denny, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Just explain something to me. I've watched football for, I'm nearly 68-year-old, and used to, a running back would hit the line of scrimmage. His forced progress would stop. It'd blow the whistle. This then time, they get behind them, push them 5 or 10 yards till they get a first down. Now, on that first play, that went when Ole Miss had the ball, Corral, he come back. Tennessee players thought the running back had the ball. They tackle him. They're still in motion. It looked to me like he was kind of hiding the ball, getting ready for a receiver to come open. Anyway, if it had been Peyton Manning or somebody, you just spike a ball or you take off running. They come and they get him, they strip the ball. To me, it was a touchdown. Now, I had my family members call me, you know, said we should have beat him by 2 touchdowns. We should have been this, you know. But you got to look at the overall picture. How many passes did Ole Miss drop, you know, that they should have caught in the end zone, you know? And
quite a few.
I'm one of them people that I just look at Tennessee, you know, how many points that we give away and all that. But Ole Miss gave away a lot of points, too. And as far as this, you know, we're already looking at, violations. And what happened last night, I'm sure ain't going to help things. But it was a disaster, and it was awful. And I think the good Lord looked down on it worse than anybody. But anyway, I just want to know about, you know, that forced progress, you know. Used to, when they stop the forced progress, they blow the whistle. That's it. Now they get behind them, and they just keep pushing them, let them push them 10 yards till they get the first down.
Well, if we focus on the play you're talking about with Matt Corral, I did not think there was forward progress. Was there a whistle that was blown? Maybe. Trying to hear it on TV later, I don't know. I can't answer that. But I did not think it was forward progress. It looked like he was still fighting for yards. It looked like the fumble came out clearly. I thought it should have been a Tennessee touchdown. That was my view on that one.
I mean, that's what I thought. I mean, I think, you know, the crowd was loud. We played in the swamp, and we couldn't, you know, hear signals down there. And sometimes you got to go to silent signals.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, they took a touchdown away from it. As clearly a touchdown. And Ole Miss got a first down that they didn't get a first down. They marked him as a first down, but he was short.
I was surprised they didn't measure that. Yeah. But,
right. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you know, a lot of teams, you know, you take your Georgias and your Alabamas, when you're up there at the top, you know, you're going to get the calls. But in my opinion, but anyway, it is what it is. And I used to get mad and cuss and throw things and everything. You get older, you just sit back and take it, and it is what it is, and hope it gets better. And I think we're a lot better than it was last year.
Yes.
And I don't know why people think that we're going to come in there and go undefeated and win SEC championship in the first year under a first-year coach when we lost, 43 players, you know, and our offensive line. I heard them talk last night. How many players Ole Miss had out, and never mentioned all, you know, the players that Tennessee had out. We got a lot of players out.
Yeah,
even Mitchell, he's out for the season. And what got me, too, was that Turnish that took Phil Jackson's place last week. He came in, led the team in tackles, and I think he got Defensive Player of the Week. And I looked for him all night, and I knew he'd see 29 in there. I knew he'd see him in there, and I thought, sure, he'd be back in there. But anyway, That's all I got to say, and I just I just hate that everything happened. But if it ain't beer balls, it's going to be something else. But it is what it is.
We appreciate it. And, Tim, I think you made the point earlier. Typically, the officials let the play play out. They don't blow the whistle quickly. And in that situation, they did. But that surprised me that somebody would have blown a whistle that quickly on that particular play with Matt Corral in the sack fumble.
I guess there's a mentality of, you know, protecting the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It comes into play also. And in the old days, we would ask our man Rocky what he thought. We can't do that anymore. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's in their psyche about if a quarterback's different or not. I don't know if there was an inadvertent whistle. Either way, I thought it took a touchdown away from a great play and a great strip.
Yeah.
I thought it was a touchdown.
I did, too. Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls. We are on 107.7 WIVK, 99.1 FM, The Sports Animal. With VFL Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm.
Felt great. Personally, I felt like my team, we needed a break. We needed something to go our way to change the momentum of the game, and I was willing to do that by any chance, but I couldn't have done it without the other 10 guys on the field. So credit to those guys.
That's Tennessee defensive back Trayvon Flowers talking about the interception he made against Ole Miss last night. I think it was in the night. Could have been in the morning. Who knows? Anyway, Trayvon Flowers with the interception. The first interception Matt Corral has thrown this year. He threw 14 last year. None until Flowers got that interception. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off with VFL Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. Let's go back to the phones where the next caller is James. James, you're on Sports Sound Off.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Okay. I got three questions, and I'll be real quick because there's a lot of callers. Kentucky and Florida game, $250,000 fine for running on the field, which was nothing compared to last night. My first question is, what do you think that University of Tennessee will be fined? Do you think it'll be around $400,000 or what? And the way Tennessee throws money around, the numerous people that were injured last night, how many lawsuits do you think will be headed towards Tennessee? That's my first question. And the second question is, the athletic director got more beer sales, more service due to complaints. Does he harbor some of the blame for what happened last night? And my last question, the best passer besides Hooker on the team is Bailey. Last night at the end of the game, they needed the best passer, not the most mobile quarterback. Do you think that Bailey should have been the one going in instead of what went in? And I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay. Thanks, James. In regard to Tennessee being fined, I don't know. I'm not sure if there's anything in the SEC guidelines, although the commissioner, Greg Sankey, did send out a deal about the conference has established guidelines for sportsmanship. Will Tennessee get fined? Possibly. $400,000? I have no idea. If you storm the field, the first fine's $50,000, then it goes to $100,000, then it goes to $250,000. Could they be fined? They could be. As far as lawsuits, I don't think there'll be any lawsuits coming forth. Tim, if you disagree, tell me, but I don't see lawsuits coming out of this. The beer sales, the reason the athletic director added more people, it was try to expedite the line. He got a number of complaints about people waiting in long lines to get beer because there weren't that many servers. And so I think there were some fans that were missing plays, and so they added some more people to help serve beer. I don't know that I fault him for people being overserved, but he was trying to accommodate the fans and making the line shorter. And then as far as Joe Milton versus Harrison Bailey, Tim, I want to get your thoughts on this. Milton was the starting quarterback. He is the backup quarterback. Bailey's hardly played this year. Would you have gone with Bailey, the better passer, or Milton in that situation who's gained a lot more experience this year?
Well, I have no idea, first of all. I haven't seen him in practice. I don't know him. Yeah. I have seen enough of Milton's work to know that he struggles with important, crucial decisions at important times. And in my mind, what he did last night at the end of that game, running out of bounds, tucking the ball and running over to the sideline instead of throwing it to the end zone with a possible chance to win the game. I mean, that was a horrible decision. I can't even fathom how you get there. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom that your coach is not telling you, you got to throw it. How you make a decision to pull that ball down right there is just, it's beyond me. And if he's making decisions like that at a crucial time in a game, I don't think he can be my quarterback, despite him overthrowing, a lot of the time. I don't think he can be my quarterback, Jimmy. Harbaugh, I would say, pretty good developer of quarterbacks. He couldn't make a quarterback out of him. He just looks hesitant at everything he's doing. But that decision last night to hang on to that football and not throw it up in the end zone and give us a chance to win, that was painful to watch.
And so they've got an interesting decision. If Hooker's unable to go, if they go with Melton or they go with Bailey. I'm not at practice either. I don't know. I don't know who's looking good, who's not. But my guess is if Hooker's unable to go, my guess is they would go to Melton instead of Bailey. But I'm with you on that decision. That's hard to fathom for someone. And this is not
that was a disqualifier for me.
Yeah.
And this is not a disqualifier for me.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's in his fourth year of college. I mean, this isn't. Yeah. He should know better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to give your team a chance to win in that situation.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, Jimmy, I admire you to be able to put up with this fan base day in and day out the way you do. And I'll preface this by saying I've lived here all my life, and I am not a Tennessee fan, and that is the exact reason why, is because of this fan base. And anybody that wants to say, well, you go anywhere else, any other college town, it's like that. No, it's not like that. It's not. There's a reason Tennessee gets Derek Dooley's and Jeremy Pruitt's to coach. Nobody wants to come here to coach. I mean, that's the fan base. And then just listening to your callers this morning, I admire you, honestly. I'm trying to be facetious. I don't know how you do it, to be honest. But, I think you're pretty professional and do your job really well in that sense.
Thanks.
A couple quick questions. I'm sorry. A couple quick things about the ball game. And Tim mentioned something about this a minute ago, and I just want to – The swift justice about this, they're going to come down on the students. They're going to come down. They're going to get the brunt of this blame. And I guarantee you there was just as many middle-aged, rich, entitled punks in the stands showing their hind ends, just as much as the students. There's those backwood rednecks who, can't afford housing, but yet they'll spend their money on season tickets. There's those it was to blame, but I guarantee you the students will be the ones that catch the brunt of this blame.
Well, the ones that catch the brunt of the blame are the ones that did it. And if there's video to confirm it was students, if there's video to confirm it was coming from other areas, and it was coming from other areas.
It was coming from everywhere. That's what I'm saying. I'm not defending the students.
Right. Yet. Most of what I saw, most of it came from the student section, but not all of it. So anybody that they catch, to me, should be banned from going back to Neyland Stadium. That would be my position.
I agree, but I don't know how easy that is to enforce. But
I don't either.
There's let me a couple other real quick points, and I'll let some other callers in here. But
okay.
As far as that controversial spot, watching it live, I thought he got it. But then, like you said, without a camera angle from the other side, you couldn't tell. And besides that, that was at the 40-yard line. That was not – they did not steal a touchdown from Tennessee. They still had 40 yards to go if they give them that first down. That didn't rob them of the game. And as far as Joe Milton running out of bounds, I don't like to criticize college kids, any of them, but Hendon Hooker ran out of bounds on second and 20 something, third and 20 something with a minute to go in the game. He didn't fling it down the field before that fourth down play. So, and nobody's, yeah. I mean, everybody's just piling on Joe Milton about it. And it was a brain fart. I think he got beyond the line of scrimmage and thought, crap, But this fan base, in my life would be easier if I could pull for Tennessee living here all my life. But this fan base last night just reinforces it.
Well, there were many that were not on their best behavior. And by the way, Tim pointed out earlier that Hooker ran out of bounds a couple times. Tim noted that, which Tennessee needed some big plays in and unfortunately didn't get them. But, Chris, we appreciate the phone call. When we come back, we will continue to take your phone calls with VFL Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marco Scarza Law Firm.
You know, it's obviously a shot play. I try to get to the ball, but, unfortunately just fell a little short. Like I said, I put in effort and just fell short.
That was Tennessee wide receiver Cedric Tillman when talking about the next to last play of the game, in which Milton threw it into the end zone. Tillman jumped, although I agree with Tim Irwin. I don't know that he was in great position to get much elevation. I wasn't able to pull it in, but that was his comment about that last play. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. Before we get back to the phones, I do want to say this in reference to Chris's call. Are there some fans that give me a hard time? Yes. But a far greater number of Tennessee fans have been very respectful, and I appreciate them. And I don't let a few spoil the job that I do. Tim, as great as you were with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm sure there were times when some fans weren't happy with you. That's just part of the arena. It's part of what we do, and you just move on. But that's going to happen in life, isn't it?
I had a great football coach that just recently lost him, Jerry Burns,
yeah,
offensive coordinator. And he used to always come in and tell us, he thought faster than he could talk, and he had kind of stuttered sometimes, and he was a hysterical guy. He reminds you of Burgess Meredith on Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah.
But he would always say, now, remember that poem at the critic, the man in the arena, and always got what he was saying, even though he said it kind of messed up. He's talking about President Roosevelt's favorite lines about the man in the arena to the credit, and I've always tried to remember that. I mean, we're not in the arena. Well, these kids are, and it's tough. And I don't believe college kids deserve to be booed. At least until recently, they're not getting paid anything. They're getting their college paid for, but they're not getting paid a salary. I don't believe you should boo your own school. If you go pay $200 or whatever it costs for a ticket and sit in a pro game, I think you got a right to boo. And I never begrudged anyone that right. And I can tell you this, these players that say, oh, well, I never heard the boos, I never heard the claps. I heard every one of them for 14 years up there. Every one of them I heard, I promise you. But I don't think we should be having that effect on our kids. We should be cheering for our kids. Once they come to Tennessee, they're our kids.
We're not in the arena of the field, but we are in the arena of the public eye, and criticism comes with that, and that's okay. Everybody's got a right to their opinion, and that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones where JB's our next caller. Hello, JB.
Morning, fellas. Kind of busy today, huh?
Yes, sir. Surprised.
By the way, Jimmy, you're a big boy. You got the big boy pants on you, and you rock the Dynabody. Same wants to come to you, then step to you. That's the way it is, right?
That's right. I actually do have a Dynabody T-shirt.
There you go. Guys, I'll first say last night we got thoroughly outcoached last night. We got outplayed. Mm-hmm. The fumbled punt, the easy touchdown, that was like a 14-point turnaround. Tyon Evans didn't play. Therefore, we had to adapt some way to get those yards back. Our speed guys, like Jalen Hyatt, didn't play much, maybe because they can't trust him. But also, we lost Flopgate to the Kiffy Flopgate. We didn't play well last night, and we had three chances to win the ball game, and we didn't get it done. By the way, if you don't like being in Knoxville, Tennessee, there are roads go south, north, east, and west. Get on out of here and quit complaining if you don't like it. That's the way I think about it. Jimmy, can I ask you another question?
Yes, sir.
After praising you. Okay, you told me you didn't see liquor bottles thrown.
I did not see them. No, I did not. I saw a lot of things thrown. I did not see liquor bottles. Now, remember, I'm in the press box, and then I went down on the field,
absolutely.
And after I got on the field. So go ahead.
Now, you said you really couldn't see Warren, the spot on the Warren pass, and you wondered if there should have been more cameras over there, and it was a tough call, and you thought that one should have been looked at, the place on the Warren catch. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was looked at. I just thought there should have been a camera on the Ole Miss side, from the Ole Miss side
exactly.
of the field. Yeah.
And you also told me that you have trouble reading the Tennessee jerseys. Is that correct sometimes?
With a naked eye. That's why I use binoculars.
Okay. Did you have the binoculars on Coach Heupel doing the hand job about the flip-flop?
I didn't have binoculars on him. I saw it, and then I saw it on TV.
Okay, so you're going to review this film. You're going to look at this flop gate and give us a number and see who was flopping. I think, obviously, we got out coached and out flopped last night because why don't you flop? You can get away with it. We had a spy spying a guy who's being blocked every down. You're wasting a defensive player because you can't make a play. He's being blocked by a lineman every time. But we got thoroughly out coached last night and still could have won the ball game.
They could have. And that's why I give them a lot of credit for their fight. Tim, this was far from a perfect game by Tennessee or Ole Miss. But the thing I liked about Tennessee was their effort, and they kept competing. They never gave up, and they gave themselves a chance to win. And this is a team that's depleted with its roster based on the number of transfers and so forth. So, Tim, I give them a lot of credit for the way they hung in there and continued to compete.
I can find no fault with anyone's effort. I find fault in their execution sometimes, but not with anyone's effort. These kids are buying in. And they want to play for this coach. That's obvious to anybody who knows football. These kids want to play for this coach. And as long as you got that going for you, you know, you got a chance. So, no, I agree 100%. They're playing hard.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Max. Max, you're on Sports Handoff.
Yeah, good morning, Judge. Good morning, Jimmy.
Morning.
I'd like to suggest that on the flops, as we're calling them now, I quote unquote injury, you know. Anyway, my suggestion is kind of treat it like you do in any other circumstance. If a defensive player flops or is injured, then substitute that one player. Allow that substitution. Unless the offense has the option of substituting one player. If the offense substitutes more than one player, then it's a free-for-all. Subs are, you know, whatever. Run them out there. But they've got – and those sub players have to stay out for at least three plays. That's my suggestion on curbing that. And as far as the fans throwing stuff on the field, look, it's a game. It's not – in the end, it's not really all that important. In the real world, and you take a chance when you throw something, not knowing where it's going to land, not knowing who you're going to hit. A child, you could hit a child, you could hit a police officer who's just there, you know, one trying to enjoy yourself, learn about the game and the values, and one just trying to do their job. You might not even come close to an opposing player or an official that you're so upset at. He's an imperfect being trying to do a perfect job. So cut folks some slack. And I agree with the other caller. If you don't like the way we behave around here, we're not perfect, and we lose our temper sometimes. But we have to control our temper and not do stupid things when we're angry. But if you don't like it here, it's like the other guy said, 75 goes north and south, 40 goes east and west. Find you somewhere else. Well, and I'll hang up, and you guys have a great day.
Okay. And I don't think somebody should leave town just because they're not a Tennessee fan. Okay. So he may like it here for a lot of other reasons besides that. By the way, one thing about the fans, Tim, this one really gets me. If you brought a golf ball to the game, wasn't there some kind of predetermined reason you did that?
Yeah, it kind of hung me up, too. It was a green golf ball, too. And it did – I watched the field. It did come in down from the stands. It wasn't something stay. I mean, I saw it fall
right
down beside him and hit the ground. But, you know, I never forget playing at Auburn. and them throwing navel oranges from weapon stands and one of them hitting Coach Capigo, and how enraged that made me. And I think Dr. Yeomans might have got hit with one too. That stuck in my craw for many, many years. And now we've put ourselves right in the same. But I can't ever remember fans at Neyland Stadium throwing things on the field like that. I can't remember it. I'm sure. I mean, they tell me they had a riot when UTC beat us one time in the 60s.
Yeah.
I wasn't around for that. I can't remember that kind of stuff. I remember we beat Alabama after a long dry spell, and they tore the goalpost down and ran up and down Cumberland Avenue, but I can't remember anybody getting hurt.
Right.
I can't remember us ever throwing things on the field in modern times. It was despicable and embarrassing, and that has no place here. And it's just a game, people. It's not life and death. It's not. Yeah, we love it, but it's important because we make it important. It's important because it's fun. It's not fun when you do stuff like that.
Well said. That's Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marco Scarza Law Firm.
Could you talk about what your responsibility was on the very last play? The one before, you almost caught it. What was your job on the last play?
Try to just get open, man. Like, in a situation like that, when the defense has all those guys backed up, obviously, you know, the routes aren't going to look clean. So, really just try to get open and try to get a viewpoint for Joe. But, unfortunately, it just didn't happen that way.
That's Cedric Tillman, Tennessee wide receiver. Ask about that last play, what his job was. Tennessee falling to Ole Miss, 31-26. Ole Miss ranked number 13 in the country. The Vols unranked. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. Let's go right back to the phones where Ken is our next caller. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Morning, Ken.
I was just going to say a couple of things about the officiating last night. I mean, they're not perfect by any means, but I just thought every time they convened, it went against UT. And the two biggest crucial plays to me was, number one, the fumble for the touchdown that was not. First of all, 9 times out of 10, if his momentum's been stopped or the play's been called dead, somebody's waving their arms or somebody's pointing at the ground that he's down. They all ran with our player to the end zone, then convene, and say, oh, no, he was down. Momentum was stopped. If somebody had been blowing the whistle, somebody had been waving their arms or pointing at the ground or something, no one ever did. So to me, that was just overthinking the whole play because it didn't happen. And then secondly, in the second quarter, I mean, to me, it's 14 points. That guy on fourth down slid a good yard and a half. Heupel's losing his mind at the referee because he was standing right there, and they give him the first down and don't measure it.
Yeah,
I think they get so caught up with the fast pace that they're going too fast sometimes.
I think that's a good point about the fast pace. I remember I was talking to one official at one point, and he said a lot of times coaches that run a hurry up want you to hurry up and spot the ball. So the officials will hurry up and spot the ball and not measure for a first down. And there are some of them that I think, how could you have given them a first down? That looked like he was 6 inches short or whatever. It was certainly close enough to measure. So, again, I think that's a good point. I think that the officials get caught up in the hurry-up offense and don't measure when they should measure for first downs. Those things can be critical.
Well, in the second quarter, there's no doubt in my mind when Ole Miss was heading towards the north end zone, because that's where I was sitting, that official grabbed the ball the second the player got up and slung it to the official on the line of scrimmage to set the ball. And Heupel was losing his mind. I don't know if you saw it where you were from the press box.
Yeah, I did.
And I was like, how in the world do you mark it where that guy wasn't even close, and that was one of the fourth downs that they converted. And then two plays later, they score. I just think that was two crucial points that the officials really blew it.
Well, I thought it was close. And it should have been measured.
Part of it too, but you got to mark it. You got to measure it.
I agree with that.
Especially on third down, I have no problem with it. On fourth down, that's change of possession. That's huge.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Y'all have a great day. Okay. Great show as always.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Fine, Greg.
Good. I just got a couple things. Obviously, the fumble thing and the return, I didn't even see a fumble. It just looked like a handoff or a fake handoff, and he was holding the ball or shielding it, waiting for the receiver to come open. I don't understand why, like all these other callers, why the plays didn't. Well, it played out, but they got called back. What's the sense in having to recall if there's not a whistle? What's the sense in having to recall officials to possibly fix that call to make it right? Because that obviously looked like it was a planned play, and it's just everybody else got faked. I don't know. I may have missed something. Like I said, I didn't see the fumble. All that. I don't know if y'all want to respond. I just got a couple other things on that.
Yeah,
beyond that.
He fumbled it, and he was hit, and he was kind of going back a little bit, and he fumbled it. The ball was in his left hand, and the only way you could have ruled forward progress, somebody had to blow a whistle. I never heard a whistle, but that's the only way that could have happened. And so maybe somebody did blow a whistle. Maybe it was inadvertent. I don't know, but I didn't hear it. And so I was surprised by that, and I thought it should have been a Tennessee touchdown. What else, Scott Gray?
Right. Next thing is, obviously, the spot when we were short, I don't know if y'all noticed or not. Obviously, you're in the press box, but the line judge was almost 15 yards. It appeared to be at least 15 yards that was closest to that side of the field, the hash mark. And they turned around and spotted it and looked at him to try to get a good spot. And he was 15 yards behind the play when he went down. And then they're turning around looking at him to find the right spot, it looked like, you know. And so he's out of position. So then my next issue with that is if ESPN's not sending enough people, that ought to be as big as college football's came to be. They need to have somebody to be able to get that backside. Because obviously these referees aren't in the same state or don't have the same speed to get to the right spot to even spot the ball sometimes. So they need to have every camera angle covered as big as college football is nowadays. What all goes into it and the money and the athletics and everything goes with that part.
I agree with you. I agree with that. You can potentially change the game by an officiating call. And if Tennessee gets that first down, do they win? I don't know. But it certainly took a chance away from them to win. And I think they should have as many cameras as they can to make sure they get that. Greg, we're short on time. We do appreciate the phone call. Tim, we got about 90 seconds left. Tennessee's got Alabama next. Alabama beat Mississippi State 49-9. Your thoughts on Tennessee's chances against the Crimson Tide?
I think just heal up. Concentrate on what you do. Don't worry about beating Alabama. Just play and execute. I mean, I think we'd all be happy with steady progress. As disappointed as we are in last night's loss, we're happy with the way this team's battling.
Yeah.
And we're happy with the way this team's making progress. We're disappointed we lost to Ole Miss. Nobody likes Lane Kiffin. But we are happy with the team's progress. Just keep going in the right direction. Try to get healthy, get healed up, get some linemen back in the game. I'm very worried that we're going to have enough athletes left to compete at the end of the year.
We don't know the status of Hendon Hooker or Tyon Evans, but, Tim, it would certainly help if Tennessee got Evans back, wouldn't it?
It would help if we got Evans. It would help if we got Hooker. It would help if we got Cade. It would help if we got Cooper. Didn't Darnell Wright leave the game, too, at one point?
Yeah. So.
I mean, the only person left up there is Carvin. It's a veteran, and I guess the next veteran would be 76, who was involved in the running off the field go down controversy. How do you say his name? Scraggins.
Yeah, Spraggins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, we
don't have any linemen left, Jimmy.
Yep. That's right. Well, we got to run. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling and listening. This has been Sunday Sports Sound Off.